question that he killed the man in self-defense. But he didn't get anywhere near the saloon. He barely made it to the mouth of the lane. Dog was more than half animal now, and loping swiftly behind him. Trying to force more speed into his pumping legs, Ryan increased the length of his stride. In less than 100 feet, Dog caught up to him. One hand locked in Ryan's hair, and the other gripped the back of his neck with an agonizing pressure. He tried to fight free, but he staggered, losing his balance on the uneven ground. Dog landed on him with his full weight. Ryan swung at the frothing face. Talon-like nails raked Ryan's face, and knees jacked into his midsection, seeking his groin. Dog grabbed handfuls of Ryan's hair and banged his head against the ground. Ryan tried to draw up his legs, hoping to get in at least one solid kick, but Dog's steely fingers shifted from Ryan's hair to his throat. He struck in a blind frenzy of desperation. Dog showed no indication that he even felt the blows. Ryan stretched out one arm, groping for his fallen gun, and his fingers brushed a rough, pitted surface. His right hand closed around it, and he heaved up a rock the size of a small pumpkin. The death grip on Ryan's throat relaxed a bit. With his free hand, Ryan slammed the steely fingers away. Dog bounded up and away from him, using Ryan's torso as a springboard. Ryan scrambled to his feet, bleeding, sick, and dizzy, while Dog crouched on the ground only a few feet away. Blood streaked the side of his face and dripped down over his cheeks and mouth. The X-scab had opened up and was leaking twin scarlet streams down either side of his nose. He touched the blood with his fingers and brought it to his nose. He then put his fingers in his mouth. Dog glared at Ryan, eyes gleaming balefully. His muscles tensed and coiled, then he sprang out of his crouch directly at Ryan's throat. Instead of trying to avoid the leap, Ryan bounded forward, rock-weighted right hand swinging forward in a short, adrenaline-charged arc. The rock's force crushed Dog's nose, driving the bone splinters through his sinus cavities, then into what was left of his brain. Dog rose up to his knees, blood flowing from his nose. He opened his mouth as if to voice another howl, but blood poured out instead. His eyes lifted to stare skyward. Ryan stood staring at Dog's corpse. He probed gingerly at the raw abrasions on his face. Every tendon, every muscle in his body was alive with pain. His head throbbed in cadence with his pulse. The world tilted around him, and he sank to his knees.
The outlander did this!
Rough hands hauled Ryan to his feet. Ryan blinked his eye against the glare of torches and flashlights.
The son of a bitch murdered Dog! Hold him! Give me my knife!
Ryan struggled against the hands and arms pinioning him, but he was held fast.
Get off me!
Fleur, silhouetted by the flickering torchlight, came striding toward him.
It's as I said. He's a pig, an insurgent, an East Coast spy.
You're full of shit. Dog was a drugged animal, and you set me up to kill him, you liar.
Silence!
The back of Fleur's hand smacked across Ryan's mouth, his teeth cutting into his lower lip. He reeled backward and spat crimson at her feet.
Blood for family blood. It's the justice of Charlie.
Then Hellstrom was there, borne in his chair by four Sekhmen. His face was hidden by the shadows, but light was reflected from his eyes like a pair of tiny stars.
What's going on here, Cawdor?
This pig has deceived you and everyone in the family. He's been plotting to betray us to the Freezies in the Nose, a secret mission from East Coast Baronies. He tried to convince Dog to turn traitor, then cold-bloodedly murdered the hapless man, simply because he refused to be party to the treachery.
She lies, Hellstrom. She's jealous of me. She hates me because I saved her life and then spurned her.
A fist struck Ryan with terrific force in the belly. He sagged in the grips of the men holding him.
Enough! Release him, now!
Hellstrom patiently waited for Ryan to stand up again before he spoke. His angular face was expressionless, but he was in a bind, and Ryan saw the knowledge of it in his eyes. He didn't believe Fleur's accusations, and he still had a use for Ryan and his people. However, he had to assert his patriarchal status in the eyes of the family.
I want no more violence between you two. If you're making me choose between the pair of you, it'll have to be settled in combat.
He's an outsider, not family. He hasn't earned the right. We kill outsiders who violate our laws.
Shut up! I'm ceding him the right. I'll put off the war council until this matter is settled.
I beg forgiveness.
A smile crossed Fleur's face. She eyed Ryan with a murderous glee.
A track stand.
Ryan remembered what he had overheard of track stands. Two combatants, both astride motorcycles, each armed with only a whip, a knife, and the individual warrior's skill. He wasn't at all certain he was qualified. His experience with motorcycles was limited.
Well, Cawdor, are you up to it?
Ryan wiped a thread of blood from his lower lip, surveying the expectant faces all around him.
Name the time and place.
The next morning, the companions crowded into the room Ryan shared with Christy. Mildred brought him coffee, and JB handed over the 18-inch panga.
I spent the last hour sharpening it. It ought to cut through plate steel.
And that bitch's throat.
6 SEC men, all holding Tech 10 machine pistols, stood there at the door. Phil was in the lead, though because of his freshly shorn appearance, Ryan didn't recognize him at first. His scalp was crisscrossed with tiny, scabbed-over lacerations. He wore one of the corduroy vests, decorated with locks and hanks of his own hair. He took a step into the room.
I like the new look. Suits you.
We're here to escort you to the track. Everybody leaves their blasters here.
Ryan exchanged a long warning look with Christy. Her finger tensed on the trigger of her Smith & Wesson, but she tossed the weapon onto the bed.
Let's go.
Is the escort a courtesy or a guard detail?
None of your fucking business, you old sack of shit.
Doc smiled gently and rapped the ferrule of his sword stick against the floor.
I shall remember you said that, my good man.
There was a carnival air around the gathering in the large open field, a half mile outside of Hellskell. Children chased one another, climbing over the mothers who were dressed in holiday finery. There were scarves, headbands, shawls, and quilted cloaks of every conceivable color and style. The men wore deerskin tunics, ruffled silk shirts, and talismans of animal claws and mummified human fingers. Ryan inspected the field of battle. It was the same area where Zadfrak had been cremated a few nights before, but all signs of the huge funeral pyre had been removed, except for the raised dais. A dozen poles, ornamented with colored glass prisms and feathers, formed the boundaries of a giant circle, at least 500 yards in diameter. Two motorcycles were parked at opposite ends of the field.
A Husqvarna 450 and a Honda Motorsport 250 trail bike, Ryan.
Phil indicated the Motorsport with the barrel of his weapon.
That one is yours, Carter.
Ryan and his people walked over to it.
Looks in good shape. Probably easier to maneuver than that Husky. So far, I think they're playing fair.
Just don't try to pop a wheelie.
I won't. Sounds like it could hurt.
Hellstrom arrived, borne in his chair by a 3-man detail. They placed him atop the dais, which Ryan noticed was positioned directly in the center of the field. It presented an obstacle as well as a viewing station. Hellstrom caught his eye and beckoned to him with a finger. As Christy led the rest of the companions toward the throng at the sidelines, Ryan joined Fleur as she stood before Hellstrom. There were no words of encouragement, no briefing concerning rules. Hellstrom merely studied them silently with his hooded eyes, then raised a hand. The two combatants trotted toward their mounts. Fleur jogged toward the far end of the field and straddled the seat of her motorcycle. A man handed her a whip and her bowie knife. She grasped the whip in her right hand and placed the long knife between her teeth. Ryan received his whip from a SEC man, coiled it in his right hand, and slid the sheathed panga halfway between his crotch and the motorcycle seat.
Begin!
Ryan kickstarted his motorsport. At the opposite end of the field, Fleur rode toward him. Ryan moved out, heading toward his adversary at an oblique angle. Will turned straight toward him on a collision.